denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi!
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on in, folks, to Pink Smoke. As always, I'm your host, Mike Rizzo. Now, we don't have any games with Inter Miami this week. It is the quote-unquote, I've never been to Nashville personally myself. Let's talk, now we'll get to your career and all that, but let's talk about Nashville. How is it living there? How is it playing for the club? You mentioned to me before our show that, you know, the stadium sits about 31,000 people. They're crazy for their soccer down in Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville in general, they love their sports teams. It's a great city to live in, great city to be if you're young. Just a lot going on, a lot of new places popping up everywhere, really big food scene. So if you're into that, definitely get down to Nashville. Obviously, they got the country music thing going for them. And yeah, just the club in general from top to bottom is just an amazing club, full of great people. And they really do things right there. So happy to call that home, and it's been great.
Now, Josh, want to get into your career before Nashville, because I understand you were drafted first. It was during COVID. It was kind of a weird situation. But before we get into all that again, folks, Josh Bauer, a right back for Nashville, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Josh, when did you know soccer was something you'd be able to kind of make a career at? Obviously, you played in college. You played at a high level in high school, too, in New Hampshire. But when did you know this was probably something you'd be able to make a living off of and go pro?
Pretty late, actually, I would say. I would say maybe I remember having a conversation in between my sophomore and junior year of college. So very, I'd say, untraditional path for me. Wasn't a big recruit or anything coming out of high school or even in college. I redshirted my freshman year, so spent that whole year on the bench just training and developing my game and whatnot, and kind of saw a long journey, a long path with my coach, and we talked about it. And, yeah, I had a good redshirt sophomore year, played well. Following year, played pretty well, and my coach kind of came to me and was like, hey, you know, like, if you're serious about this and you want to take the right steps, you know, we can help you. And, you know, that's kind of when things clicked for me, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I love this game, I want to keep playing, and I'm not ready for this to end yet.
Now, you're a fullback, a.k.a. a right back. What's your favorite part about being a right back? Because there are a couple of right backs. Obviously, there are your defensive right backs, there are your right backs that join the attack. Where do you fall under in that category playing right back for Nashville this year?
Yeah, so it's actually funny you say that. My whole career I've been a center back. High school, college. Well, I mean, when I was a young kid, I was...
And to be honest, Josh, you're a taller guy, too, for a soccer player. You know what I mean? You're a bigger guy, too. So center back would make a little more sense.
Yeah. Center back all through high school and college. Just more of a defender, general defender. But I think towards the end of last year and then this whole year have been kind of shifted out to right back. We had a injury and I was kind of filling some holes at a time last year during the summer. And then, did well enough to see myself get some more time there. And I think the biggest difference is, like you kind of mentioned it, just the ability to get forward and kind of join the attack. That's something I love.
Two goals this year, too.
Hey.
You found the back of the net, partner. You're having a good year.
Yes, it's been a good year so far. And I think, just like having that freedom to go forward is something I like to do for sure.
Josh Bauer, right back for Nashville SC, is our guest. Nashville right now, fourth on that MLS table with 29 points. Actually, same amount of points is our Inter-Miami Herons. We'll get into the Herons with Josh in just a bit. And once again, he is joining Pink Smoke here on ESPN 106.3. Now, walk me through, Josh, how the draft process went for you. Because I was looking at your FotMod page, and I'm like, wait a minute here. You were drafted by Atlanta. COVID happened. And then walk us through the rest of that, if you can.
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned the non-traditional path earlier. Right. So actually, I was set to graduate. I did graduate college in the spring of 2020. Like I said, I redshirted my freshman year, so I did have an extra year, extra season of eligibility on the back end of that. I was going to go back to school, play in the fall of 2020, and that would have led me into the draft in January of 2021. However, COVID happened spring 2020, and our season was canceled, so couldn't play college soccer, but the MLS and just kind of the league kind of navigating the complexities of COVID, they allowed for guys in my position, seniors or guys finishing school who are going into the draft, to sign with USL clubs and still maintain draft eligibility, just so they could play, train, you know, get kind of used to a pro environment before going into the draft. So that was a really unique opportunity, which saw me going down to Birmingham. Like you said, I think I signed there in the summer, August of 2020. It was a condensed season. I think there were 16 games. I joined right at the halfway point, right at 8 games through. Spent about 2 months down there training, saw a handful of appearances off the bench, just kind of getting used to that pro environment. And then after that happened, season ended in October. Went back home for a couple months, did some more training on my own and with some coaches there. And that kind of led me into the draft in January. Like you said, got drafted by Atlanta. Spent my rookie year down there. They did not pick up my option at the end of that rookie year and went into what they call the re-entry draft, which honestly, I still don't totally know how it works.
I totally understand. And it's like, I saw your path to the MLS and I thought it was great because it's a great story in the sense of, you know, Atlanta didn't pick it up, but you found a new home in Nashville and you're thriving.
Yeah, absolutely. Super grateful that they picked me up. It's funny. I think I was just, you know, home helping my dad and stuff. We were moving at the time. And my agent had called me and he was like, hey, like, don't be discouraged. Like, you know, we're going to have some options for you. There's re-entry draft going on. Like, not a lot of people get taken, but, you know, like, if it happens, it happens. And we'll go from there. He's like,
How was that period of not knowing? It was probably like, you know, a little nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Right?
In the moment, I'm like, you know, crap. Like, am I going to have a contract next year? Am I still going to be doing this? Was this it? Was it a one and done? So there's a lot of thoughts going through your head, but I think just like trusting the process. And I have a really good agent who's been fantastic in working with me from the start. Good support system with my family and friends. So I wasn't totally stressing over it. Like I said, I had a bunch of other stuff going on, helped my family move and just a transitional period. And it was nice to be back home seeing friends after kind of just a long year. But then, yeah, literally an hour later, I got a call back from my agent. He's like, hey, you're going to Nashville. And I was like, what do you mean I'm going to Nashville? He's like, I was like, is this a trial? Like, what's the deal? He's like, no, like, they just picked you up in the reentry draft. Like, contract's good. Like, it's basically like they picked up your option. You're going to Nashville. I was like, all right. That's awesome. Yep. So
you had that time was an hour. The time of indecisiveness and nervousness of if you're going to have a second contract lasted 1 hour?
Well, a little bit longer because I did get the news that they weren't picking up my option. So it was probably a few days. I think I literally got the news like on Thanksgiving or like the day before Thanksgiving. I was like, oh, that's some great news to receive. And then, a couple days later, got that call from my agent. So was super happy.
Josh Bauer, right back for Nashville SC, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Josh, let's talk about the team that picked you up and that you're flourishing with in Nashville. Fourth on the table this year. You mentioned to me that you got a new gaffer this year as well. Things are working for the lads right now, huh?
Yeah. He came at the end of last year. I think we had about 9 games left in the season last year when he came and really has just like changed our identity and who we are. And it's been great. I think, you know, last year was a bit of a struggle for us. We weren't the greatest team, missed out on playoffs, you know, had a couple moments, bright moments here and there. But I think on the whole, we were just kind of searching for a new identity. And when this coach came in, BJ Callahan, he really did a good job of galvanizing the team and trying to get us to what we call Nashville 2.0. And just changing who we are and our standards and every day how we act. And I think the team's done a really good job of rallying around that and you know, just competing and working for each other and the greater common goal. And like you said, yeah, we're having a good start to the year so far. Long ways to go, but we're headed in the right direction.
Now, Coach Callahan had some experience, too, with the USA national team, I believe during some Gold Cup action back in 2023. So this is a coach who's kind of had a couple of stops before Nashville as well. Is there anything that you picked up from him?
Him and...
I know you called it Nashville 2.0, but is there anything in specific that maybe he did different than the gaffer that was there beforehand?
Just the attention to detail. They're very detail-oriented, and everything is done with a purpose, and it's very calculated, and they are students of the game, as they like to say, too, and they try to encourage us to be students of the game.
Right.
You know, not just going out there blind and playing. I think the biggest thing is just how we break down a film and how we break down opponents and form game plans and stuff like that. Everything is very detail oriented. And it's, you know, it's a challenge at first, you know, mm-hmm. a lot more like mental load. We talk about mental load and physical load, and they're very high in the mental load. And, you know, it challenges us. And but I think ultimately that's going to make you better. And it's something that you can shy away from or you can lean into. And I think the guys who have leaned into it have seen good results.
Josh Bauer, right back for Nashville SC, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, you guys are on holiday right now. You're visiting, obviously, our friend Lucas Rubio here at ESPN 106.3. Is there anything you like doing specific on holidays? Is it just visiting friends and family, chilling out, relaxing, maybe playing some video games? I don't know if you're into that, but just, you know, I feel like soccer players, with how long the season is, Josh. I mean, it's funny because, you know, the NBA, you hear all the time, the players can't stand the 82-game season. NFL, it's more like the wear and tear, getting hit and stuff. But I could argue soccer's the longest season out there.
Yeah, soccer's a long one. I mean, I think that was the biggest change for me going from college soccer to professional soccer. It's like how long that first season felt. And, you know, inevitably, I think you're going to have times where you maybe hit a wall in the middle of the season, or, you know, when it gets really hot in the summer and you're in the grind, in the thick of it. Got to take advantage of the times off, the days off that we get. And this is a pretty unique period. We don't really get this long ever. It's about 6-7 days just to kind of reset and refresh. And that was the message to us following our game last weekend, was just take some time away, go see some family, go see some friends, go to the beach, go do whatever you want to do to take your mind away from the game, and just reset and refresh and get ready to come back for the second half of the season, ready to go. So I like to, you know, I think, get out of town, go see some family and friends, and mm-hmm. just kind of relax, go get some good food and hang out, not do anything too strenuous.
Now, I know it's been a wet couple of days here, partner, but I hope you are enjoying South Florida and doing everything you wanted to do when you came down here.
Yeah, like you said, you know, seeing Lucas is always a good time.
You went to a good spot, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say him on air because they're not a partner. How about that? But great spot nonetheless, great food there as well. I feel like West Palm, there's just so much to do. If it's go to the beach, if it's go to a pool, go out, you know, Deter is a great street to go out on downtown as well. You know, good place for, you picked a perfect place for R&R. How about that?
Yes.
Rest and relaxation.
I think so too. We come down here for preseason camp too. So, familiar with the area and like coming here. And like I said, Lucas is a good excuse to come visit.
Now let's talk a little bit about Inter Miami, and Lionel Messi. Now I grilled you before during our pre-show interview. You did not give me a team that you specifically supported in Europe. I'm a diehard United fan, as my fans know. But what is it like to share the pitch with a guy like Lionel Messi?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty unique, pretty special. I think, you know, the first couple times or the first time when we played him, you don't really realize it in the moment because, you know, you're on the same field, you're trying to win, you're a competitor. And at the end of the day, you can't be intimidated or scared or in awe of who you're playing against because, you know, at the end of the day, you're on the same pitch as them. But I think, you know, after kind of taking a step back and realizing it, and you get so many texts from friends, family saying, oh my gosh, like, how was it you played against Messi? Yep. You know, he's the greatest player ever, blah, blah, blah. It's true for sure. You know, I have that respect for him, and it's pretty cool. I think it's one of those things that as time goes on, and you know, when I'm done playing and stuff, I'll be able to look back on and just mm-hmm. be like, yeah, that was a pretty special moment.
Now Nashville will be playing our Inter Miami Herons later on this season, and from the outside looking in, Josh, for our Herons, what have you seen from the team? There was a point of kind of a down period. The last three games have been good to the Herons. Draw, win, win. I feel like picking up that draw against Philadelphia on the road, being down 3-1 in the 85th minute, being able to get a point, and then ending the final two games on a high note, winning. Just from the outside looking in, with Suarez here and Jordi Alba, Busquets, Messi, and even all the great players after that, what is it? What do you think the kind of identity of Inter Miami is to other teams in the MLS?
I think, you know, Miami is a lot of teams' Super Bowls say, you know, so when they play Miami, it's okay, you know, you're going to get your best effort from those teams because everyone wants to beat Messi, everyone wants to beat Suarez, Jordi Alba, like you said, Busquets. So I think, but at the end of the day, like, you can't, no matter what form Miami's in, you can't go in thinking, okay, you know, like, oh, they lost their last couple games or they haven't got some good results. Like, it'll be an easy game. Like, it's never going to be an easy game. And you have to play for 90 minutes against that team because at any given moment, their quality can show and they can connect. And it's like, bang, you're down 2-0 right away. Or, mm-hmm. or in the last minute of the game, you know, you've been leading for 89 minutes. Last minute of the game, Messi gets in behind, scores a goal. tied 1-1, and then they score a winner in stoppage time. So
yep.
Just kind of on high alert with Miami for sure. But they, I mean, they obviously have, you know, their stars are good players, and they also have some really good role players. Special shout out to my guy, Yannick Bright, playing in the midfield. He's a fellow UNH alum. Never got to play with him because of that COVID year, but we keep in touch, and he's a great guy, good piece on the team as well.
He's like a linebacker out there.
He's a beast.
I'll tell you what. So the voice of our Inter Miami Herons, his name is Ken Levick, a great friend of mine. Shout out, Ken. But we talk all the time about how Yannick Bright literally is a linebacker with pads on out there half the time, the tackles that he's making. I think, and Josh, I know you, even if you knew the extent of the injury, you wouldn't tell me. But I'm a little upset that he picked up that knock right before the Club FIFA World Cup. I think with him handling the defensive pivot, playing box to box, I think they really could have used him at the Club FIFA World Cup. But did you see that kind of play style from him when you were trying? I know you didn't necessarily play games with him, but you trained with him at New Hampshire.
Yeah, we kind of during that weird down period in COVID, we were just getting some individual work in at the time. And yeah, I knew he was a good player. I was super excited about when he came in because I was supposed to play in that fall of 2020 with him before I ended up leaving because our season got canceled. But yeah, I knew he was a good player. Like you said, a linebacker, I call him like a little pit bull in there. He's just, you know, a bruiser and not afraid to get stuck in. And, has, you know, again, good ability on the ball, good passing, good vision. He's a complete player. And, yeah, definitely someone I would have loved.
The game that I was in awe was when Oscar Ustari, the goalkeeper for Inter Miami, picked up the red card against Charlotte. And they were playing a man down. And Yannick Bright, I think, was the only reason they won that game was some of the tackles he made on Wilfred Zaha in the box. Abagi, their big striker, too. Just absolute quality. And I think he might be a player, Josh, that can maybe even go overseas, maybe play in European leagues. And listen, MLS is top-tier competition. That's not what I'm trying to say.
No.
But I think Yannick could definitely play in a league like that one day where, you know, maybe the Premier League, La Liga, stuff like that.
Yeah, you see a lot of these younger guys kind of using MLS as a little bit of a springboard. Mm-hmm. And like you said, MLS competition is definitely on the rise, and the game's growing here for sure. But, yeah, definitely common for younger guys who are blossoming to go overseas and play. And, you know, he's got the European passport, so mm-hmm. I think he would have some success over there.
Italian. He's like, I'm half Italian.
Yes.
So how about that? He's, you know, obviously born and raised there, but I claim Italy as well. Now, Josh Bauer, right back for Nashville SC, is our guest. Now, Josh, what do you do for downtime during the season? Like, obviously, you don't have a lot of downtime. You're training. Are you a video game guy? Are you a TV show guy? What do you do to kind of take your mind off of the craziness of an MLS soccer season?
Yeah, not a huge video game player, honestly. That was more during college, but I just like to lay low, do a little bit of reading here and there. I like to hang out with friends. My mom's actually in Nashville now, so I'll go over to her place, have dinner every now and then.
God, you lucky son of a gun.
It is.
You get to go to mom's to go to dinner. Oh,
it is the blessing. She's got the dog, too, so I hang out with
the full. You got the whole nine. You got the treatment down there,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. And then other than that, we got a good group of guys. So, you know, some guys will take the time off to go hang out with their family, you know, as they should. But we got a couple guys who we'll like to get together off the field as well, which is great. I mentioned the food scene in Nashville earlier. That's something we like to do, is go try some new restaurants and just be together, enjoy each other's company.
Now, Josh, you have a pregame ritual. Do you have like socks you got to wear? Is it cleats you got to wear? Michael Jordan always used to wear his, you know, college shorts underneath his real shorts. Do you have any weird ritual out there before games?
I wouldn't say any crazy rituals or anything like that. I'm definitely a routine oriented person. So, you know, I like to, you know, have my same game day routine, but at the same time, I don't want to be confined to that in a way if something goes wrong. So, nothing crazy. I will say, coincidence. I don't know if you saw kind of when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl and whatnot, they did a piece on like AJ Brown with, he was reading a book on the sideline. It kind of blew up on social media. It's called Inner Excellence. So I took interest to that and I said, you know, what book is AJ Brown reading? So I went out and got that book, and, the first couple games of the season, I think, the first two games that I started, I scored in. Before both those games, I took some time and just like read from that in the locker room, and Just kind of got myself in the right mental frame. So I think, you know, before games, I've started doing that. Now I'm like, hey, work twice, scored two goals after reading it. Why
little
not
reading.
Every time?
Little exactly. light reading. How about exactly. that, Josh? Exactly. Little light reading. Josh Bauer, right back for Nashville SC, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Josh, you mentioned, you know, I couldn't get a European team out of you that you rooted for growing up. Do you have any American sports teams that you really like that you get behind? I know you grew up in New Hampshire. Are you maybe a Patriot guy, a Celtic fan?
Not a Patriot guy. I actually grew up strongly disliking the Patriots. I'm not from
me
New
too.
Hampshire originally. I've kind of bounced around.
I see.
I was actually born here in
Florida. All right, I got to grill you. You told me you lived 8 years in Columbus,
yes.
And you know my Columbus ties, my Ohio ties. How the hell aren't you an Ohio State fan? How is it possible to live in Columbus, Ohio for 8 years during youth, I'm assuming?
Yes.
And
yes.
not be an Ohio State fan. That's insanity.
It is tough because
it's insanity.
Just, yeah, being in Columbus especially, it's the Buckeyes are everything there. I rooted for them when I was a kid. You know, they were fun to get behind. But I was a big Florida Gators fan.
Oh, they'll like you down here.
I was born in Florida. And Tim Tebow, that was right around the time of Tim Tebow. And I just like really grasped onto that. I had a Tim Tebow jersey. That was like my first like sports jersey growing up. So I was kind of a Gators fan. And, you know, I think they might have met in like one of the championships.
Yeah, 05-06. Yeah. Buckeye fans don't like talking about it.
Yeah, I don't mind talking about it as a Gators fan.
Yeah, that was the Tebow, Chris. So they had two quarterbacks, Chris Leak, Tim Tebow,
yes.
Percy Harvin,
oh, yeah.
Dallas Baker, the touchdown maker. I mean, that offense was loaded. It was Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Loaded Urban Meyer team at Florida.
Yes, that was my team for college sports growing up. But then once I moved to New Hampshire, I'm a big basketball fan as well. Played basketball in high school.
Yep.
Loved to just play. Would always be on the driveway like as a kid playing, shooting on the hoop and whatnot. So just being around the New England area, the Celtics were everything.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm a big Celtics fan.
Now, are you a bandwagon fan, or is that more like, did you get on the bandwagon when you moved there?
I think so. Like I kind of just like
for sure
they were the team to root for. But yeah. I do love Boston City. Yep. Boston.
Now you mentioned you were trying to get to that playoff loss there. I mean without Tatum.
Yeah.
I personally think the Knicks probably still win with Tatum. The problem is you can't like, and I'm being a Cleveland guy and a Cavalier guy. You can't go down 0-2 at home.
You can't
lose the first two games at home and expect to win a series.
No, I completely agree. I definitely had hope that they could get it done, but I mean obviously you know once Tatum went down that was. Kind of the end of it, but you know, last year was a great year, so we'll hold on to
totally,
that.
Yeah, you'll hang on to that championship. I'm going to do the same for my Buckeyes last year as well. But Josh, what's the partner? I appreciate the time. You guys are back down here July 12th. It's going to be a 7:30 kickoff. You could listen to me do the pregame show starting at 7:00. But I was about to say, man, if you're here and you got some time, stop on in. Come see us again. We'd love to have you in studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Yep. Definitely excited to get back down here in July. And you know, if I'm ever back down here for some more time off, I will make sure to stop in and say hello.
Appreciate it. Once again, that was Josh Bauer right back for Nashville SC. And last week, best of luck throughout the whole year, too.
Thank you.
Obviously, appreciate you coming on. Appreciate Nashville and the PR team letting you come on here with us. Had a ton of fun with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great.
We're taking a timeout. We're coming right back on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
You just got done hearing Josh Bauer, the right back for Nashville SC. We are rolling here on Pink Smoke. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We are at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. You can stream us on that ESPN app. It is time to go to the hotline once again. And we are entering, we are welcoming in an absolute legend throughout the play-by-play circuit, Steve Cangelosi. Some of you might remember him for the New York Devils, but I certainly know him for his soccer. He was a New York Red Bulls man on MSG for 21 years as well. New York man through and through. Now he is a play-by-play man for the MLS season pass. Steve, an absolute honor to have you on here on Pink Smoke. How are you, partner?
Okay, well, that intro pretty much trumps everything else that can happen. Can I hang up now? That was fantastic. It's nice to be with you, Mike, seriously.
Yeah, Steve, seriously, thanks so much, partner. Appreciate you coming on. Now, obviously, being a part of the MLS season pass, you've been looking at Inter-Miami. You've been on Inter-Miami games. Let's get it out of the way early. You know, Inter-Miami third on that table. I think there's some people out there who expected a little more at this point before the Club FIFA World Cup break. What's been kind of your expertise on Inter Miami this year. What's been your scouting report on the Herons on some of the games that you've done?
Well, only a few days ago, they were sixth in the table. So the place in the table, I guess you can argue, has improved exponentially in the last few days and after a very good week in which it all started with the comeback against the Philadelphia Union on the road two Saturdays ago. They're down 3-1 very late in the second half. Messi scores on the extraordinary free kick. Segovia scores 95 minutes in, and they get a result. And from there, they make the most of the rest of the week. A very beatable opponent, granted, in Montreal, which came in midweek. And then the most recent game, which I thought was quite telling, what they did to the Columbus Crew. And I think that paints a more accurate reflection of who they are. The 5-1 victory over certainly one of the better coach teams in MLS, if not one of the better teams, period. To cut to the chase to the answer of your question, I don't try to read too much into where these teams are at this point in the year. We've just crossed over into the month of June, and in the case of Inter Miami, there's still more than half a regular season to play. So the place in the table doesn't concern me as much as some other things would, and most specifically what this team has been doing defensively. I think what they did in the game against Columbus could mark the start of something a lot better than what they've shown on the defensive side of the ball. Because, Mike, if they correct that, I don't see how this team doesn't appreciate a first-place finish by the time we get to decision day in October.
Steve Cangelosi, the announcer for the MLS season pass play-by-play man, is our guest. Steve, I'm happy you brought up the Philadelphia game because I do the pregame, halftime, and postgame on the radio network. Partner, I've been calling it the draw that started it all. Hopefully, this is the damn draw that could get them back in gear. You know, they won two games after that, and now we got the Club FIFA World Cup with this side. And that's where I wanted to go next because no rest for the wearer. Well, I guess they had 2 weeks off, but no rest for Javier Mascherano, who's kind of been receiving a lot of heat before those three games at the end of the year. What do you think Inter Miami has to do at the Club FIFA World Cup, Steve, for this to be considered a success story for Inter Miami in the competition?
Get out of the group is the first answer, and I think that's the most basic answer that almost anyone would give you. I'll try to expand on it if I might. All of the MLS teams are up against a tough proposition, okay, because these are the best club teams in the world. And we can talk about all of the layers that affect this competition probably for another 2 hours. We don't have enough time. But basically, you're finding MLS teams in a competition that's been expanded to 32 teams for the very first time. And quite frankly, I think we're all trying to figure out what to make of this tournament in its current iteration, and that's a very hard thing to kind of nail down. Let's take Inter Miami and the challenge that they face, okay? They face one of the finest teams in Egypt, if not the best in Al Ahly. They face a Porto team that isn't the Porto team that won Champions League back in 2004 under Jose Mourinho, but still one with a lot of history and one that attracts very good players. And Palmeiras from Brazil is the other team in the group. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I know a lot about the inner workings of Palmeiras, but I do know this, okay? Brazil is the envy of the world when it comes to the world game. They have won the World Cup 5 times. They have been claimed as Olympic champions twice. Never in those 7 runs to a championship has a Brazil team been fielded without at least one player from Palmeiras. So there's a little juice there as well, Mike. Obviously, yep. It's a club that obviously has a history and has produced a lot. The MLS teams have something going for it in this sense. They're traveling domestically. In the case of Inter Miami, 2 of the 3 teams that they play will be on a not-so-neutral ground at Hard Rock Stadium, the first and the third games that they play in the group. What I think is important is that MLS has a good showing. And it's very hard to nail down what Inter Miami is right now. And I don't want to dwell too much on that draw against Philadelphia, but I want to point out one other thing about that result. It came on the heels of the 3-0 loss to rival Orlando City, right?
Right.
And Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez took it upon themselves to orchestrate a team meeting at that point. And I'll share a little something with you. We interviewed Messi after that game. I was part of the broadcast crew for that game, the 3-0 defeat against the Lions, Orlando City. We weren't expecting to interview Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi walks up to our sideline reporter with a Miami official side by side with him. And the Inter Miami official, I am told, tells our reporter at the game, Michele Giannone, Messi's here. Go.
Wow.
And there's an interview that's taking place. And that is because Leo took it upon himself in order to convey a message that he thought was necessary at the time. And you guys know this. You're down there in Florida. He doesn't talk a lot.
He's going to talk
when he has something to say.
Yep.
And he needed to say something in that moment. And I think the most admirable thing I can say for Messi and Suarez together, Messi hasn't come off the field at all since that meeting. If you're going to orchestrate a team meeting, you better be damn sure you stay on the field in the efforts to correct what you think is wrong. He's done that. And with the exception of the last few minutes of the last game against Columbus, Suarez stayed on the field as well. I read a lot into that when you talk about team leadership. So emotionally and in terms of organizationally, I think they're probably in a very good place right now as they enter this tournament. And that's a good thing as you go up against some of the best clubs around the world.
Steve Cangelosi, play-by-play man for the MLS season pass, legendary play-by-play New York broadcaster, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Steve, it's interesting that you brought up that team meeting because it seemed like things started clicking after that. And I think with the Club FIFA World Cup looming, Messi and Suarez wanted to make sure that they had all their eggs in one basket. Everyone on the team was on the same page. And I think they heard the heat that their gaffer, Javier Mascherano, was getting not only from media members, but fans as well. From your perspective on this current team, how does Mascherano fit into this situation? Do you think he's a guy that was brought in by maybe Lionel Messi, or do you think he is the right man for the right job? Because I'll tell you what, we saw brilliant soccer to begin the year from Mascherano, even though he was playing some players out of position. Noah Allen, longtime fullback, was playing center back. Gonzalo Lewin, he's been really messing around with the back line and playing some guys, quote-unquote, out of position. Where do you stand on Mascherano? Because I've had to talk down a couple Inter-Miami fans that have been calling in off of the Mascherano out train that was here before the three games at the end of the MLS break here.
What's the old saying? You're only as good as your last game? The game against the Crew was Javier Mascherano's best game as a coach.
Agreed.
And I don't say that because of the scoreline, which was 5-1, and that should say enough about the performance by Miami, I know. What I liked, and I made this point during the broadcast with my partner Danny Higginbotham, it was about as compact as you have seen Miami defensively. See, it's one thing to just say the right things. Oh, we're going to come together as a team. But what does that mean, essentially? It means is everybody on the same page? Is everybody working together? And I think if you watch the Columbus game, I noticed our director. I was looking, my eyes 95% of the time are on the field, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I noticed myself looking at the monitor, the same pictures you guys were seeing at home. And what I saw was a team that was more compact than it's ever been at any point this season, even when Mascherano and Inter Miami were getting the results earlier in the year. What do I mean by this? I mean, if you took the shot our director was taking very often when the ball was in the Inter Miami defending half of the field, right?
Right.
It was not uncommon to see all 10 Inter Miami field players, including Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez, who've been criticized for not doing enough defensively for this team, in the same shot. And I thought that spoke volumes about probably the biggest thing that they needed to address. They were a mess defensively. They were an absolute mess during that stretch when they won once in a span of eight games. And the goals they were leaking were the big part of that story. I think it was along the lines of 25 yep. goals over a span of eight games.
And okay? Steve, a lot
that
of them were set. Yeah,
if you're going to be a super team,
a lot of them were self-inflicted. Sorry for cutting you off there, but like, we're back here at the network studios, and we're going, what? They're giving goals away. That was the thing that was tough to swallow, I think, for the Inter Miami faithful, is that they were handing goals to the other team. Would you agree?
I would agree with that, but individual mistakes, I would argue, are going to happen. They're going to happen to some of the best teams and some of the best players in the world. What I liked about the Columbus game is that even if they were going to be susceptible to a mistake, if you just check it out based on the eye test,
right.
You had a team very compact, and if you are going to play a high line in Major League Soccer or really in any league in the world, you better be mistake-free, and you better be prepared to execute efficiently. If you don't, you will be burned. I like what they showed in the last game. Now, there are a number of issues going into this Club World Cup, guys, that I'm not equipped to address right now.
Mm.
What if Luján is not ready? What if Jordi Alba is not ready?
Yannick Bright. Yeah, Yannick Bright.
Well, Yannick Bright is a very big part of this. Look, I've had the pleasure of calling a lot of Inter Miami games from late last season through this first half of this season, okay? And I thought that one of the great ironies of last year was this team, which has four of the most well-known and well-respected players of their generation on the field. And what did they miss in the playoffs last year against Atlanta, those last two games? They missed a college player out of the University of New Hampshire. Okay? That's kind of the funny part of sports sometimes,
yep.
Is it not?
It is. It is.
Because if Bright lines up for that last game, look, I don't know what happens. I guess my Atlanta felt it was on a bit of a magical roll. But I don't think the game plays out the same way if Yannick Bright's on the field.
Steve Cangelosi, play-by-play man for the MLS Pass, longtime New York play-by-play man, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Steve, before we let you go here, I wanted to transition a little bit into some world football because, I mean, partner, you've called Serie A, La Liga, Bundesliga. You've been on BN before. In your mind right now, who is the best team in the world? I understand PSG just won the Champions League, so the easy answer is PSG. But who's the best team in the world right now as of June 5th, 2025?
Oh, come on. You're putting me on a spot.
I am,
here,
partner.
But,
listen, hang on quickly. I'm a miserable Manchester United fan, so I've been... I've been sitting here.
You should go through therapy with Danny Higginbottom. That's my partner.
Yeah,
that's who he lives and dies with.
Listen, partner, I'm a huge United fan. I love that we've got Mbeumo coming, most likely. You know, the ink's not dry there. Cunha, we got him coming. Bruno's coming back. But, you know, Barcelona with Lamine Yamal and all their talent. You got Real Madrid. I mean, my goodness, how about that Madrid team not winning a trophy this year? Kylian Mbappe had to watch PSG hoist it.
You just answered my question, really, Mike. I do think at the end of the day, there's going to be a big bounce back in the coming year for Real Madrid.
Mm.
And I say that for a couple of reasons. Is Mbappe the best player in the world? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, he's the most feared player in the world. And I say that at a time when Real Madrid will go into next season. I don't want to say humbled. That is too strong. But I think they see the attention that Barcelona gets largely because of what Yamal represents at this point in his career. And my answer to your question would probably be Real Madrid at this point.
Mm.
But this is being asked to me at a time when I think it's more argumentative than it's ever been. Because what did you ask me? You asked me about the best team. You didn't ask me about the highest payroll.
Right.
You didn't ask me about which team takes the most beautiful soccer. And here's one for you before we end this. PSG just comes off the UEFA Champions League win. If Inter Miami gets out of the group and finishes second, and PSG wins its group, you're going to have Lionel Messi play in a knockout game against a PSG team that, while it doesn't state it publicly, the understanding is we're better without you. We're better without Mbappe. We're better without Neymar. We just won the best continental trophy because we became a better team without you. Think about the dynamics of the matchup if it does come to life. That's pretty delicious, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. You got me drooling, foaming at the mouth. My producer, Damian Perez, is foaming at the mouth here in the City Place studio behind the glass. Steve, Gold Cup coming up. A lot of United States players that are usually in the starting 11 not playing. McKinney, Weah, Pulley Goat, as I call him, Christian Pulisic. where are you at with the team? Listen, I love that Pochettino called the players out, basically said they're not playing hard enough for the badge. And I love to see some MLS players get a shot, like the Vancouver kids and Quinn Sullivan.
Yeah. Look, I'm a Quinn Sullivan fan. I think this is the last competitive tournament, obviously, for the United States before the World Cup. But it's also turned into a little bit of a fact-finding mission for Mauricio Pochettino, has it not? I'm looking at certain players. Sullivan is one of them. And they're looking at this as a major audition for next summer. Alex Freeman's a wonderful right back who plays for Orlando City. This is an immense opportunity for him. I think a player like Quinn Sullivan knows he's not as talented as a lot of the people who play for the U.S. men's national team on a regular basis. But the kid's got an engine like no other. He's got to show that in these games. The one real regret I have about this Gold Cup, I wanted to see a U.S. goalkeeper make a case that they should be number one instead of Matt Turner. And what's happened is Patrick Schulte of the Columbus Crew and Zach Steffen of the Colorado Rapids are both injured, and they're not going to get the chance to show that in this tournament. Matt Freeze and Chris Brady are the other two goalkeepers for the United States. I would have loved to have seen a setup where either Steffen or Schulte has a game or two where they make Pochettino think long and hard when he exits that tournament about who the number one keeper at the World Cup should be. Because Matt Turner right now is just not playing enough. It's a big problem.
Yep.
Maybe he has a nice Gold Cup. Maybe he restores confidence to the utmost. But I would have loved to have seen him challenged for this job. But we might not get that in this window.
Steve, I could do 2 hours with you, partner. How about this? When the next time you're in Fort Lauderdale calling one of our Herons games, you're going to have to come up to West Palm and we could do this in studio, okay?
I would love that, guys. I'll get the rent-a-car going. I've got some Hertz.
Please do. Or, hey, I'll call you an Uber. How about that? I'll go full 2025 on it. I'll get you an Uber. Steve, thanks so much, partner. Really love your work. Really love watching you on the MLS season pass and appreciate you coming on here on Pink Smoke.
No, I appreciate the invite, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thank you. That was Steve Cangelosi, play-by-play announcer for the MLS season pass and a New York legend. You know, he did years with the New York New Jersey Devils in New York, and he was the Red Bulls play-by-play man with MSG for 21 years. When we return, wrapping up the show, we'll go around the MLS. Stay tuned. More Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3.
It's time for a little messy mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything messy starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly Boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that. It's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branches, locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter-Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services Incorporated, all rights reserved, member FDIC. Let's roll right into Little Messi Mania with Messi's brace that he had in the final game Inter-Miami had before the Club FIFA World Cup.
Playing it forward. Messi got behind the defense. Messi with a left-footed chip. It's a brace. Higuain never stood a chance. Lionel Messi's always going to finish that. This is an absolute rout. A perfect ball from the middle. Messi goes route one. And Messi is on a goal-scoring tear. Lionel Messi, his second beautiful left-footed finish. 3-0 Inter Miami. This is dominance in Fort Lauderdale in the 24th minute. How do you not love this? Incredible.
With the Club FIFA World Cup coming up, let's find out who's on the injury report.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Well, the biggest person on the report is Yannick Bright. We just heard from Steve Cangelosi, play-by-play man from the MLS season pass, has been on multiple Miami games this year. He said if Yannick Bright, how about this, Damian Perez? He said Yannick Bright, if he's playing against Atlanta last year in the playoffs, they win.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong because I don't know if you remember last year, Sergio Busquets had to play center back due to Yannick Bright being out. So absolutely.
So Yannick Bright on there, Baltasar Rodriguez on there. You got the hamstring boys, Baltasar Rodriguez, Dabi Ruiz. Let's hope that they can get back to form here soon coming up. Now, let's go around the MLS, Damian Perez, presented by Audi. The road is calling. Embrace the thrill of the drive with the fully electric 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron. Featuring effortless power, serious acceleration, and advanced Audi technology. Folks, it's not just a new electric vehicle. It's a new way to experience driving. The fully electric Q6 e-tron is the next chapter of Audi, and it is here. Test drive the 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron at your local South Florida Audi dealer today, or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is AudiUSA.com to learn more.
Now, it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer, or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Well, no MLS games obviously going on right now, but you heard Steve Cangelosi, play-by-play man for the MLS season pass. Really appreciated Steve coming on. We talked a lot about the MLS, Inter-Miami, FIFA Club World Cup coming up. Quickly, your top three teams in the Eastern Conference in the MLS, Philadelphia Union, FC Cincinnati, and Inter-Miami. And your three in the West at the break, Vancouver, San Diego, and Minnesota. Running out of showtime here, folks. Appreciate everybody who listened on in. Steve Cangelosi, you can listen back to that interview wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Search ESPN, or excuse me, search Pink Smoke. All you got to do, search Pink Smoke podcast will pop right up on your Google browser. Appreciate everyone who listened. We'll catch up with you next time here on Pink Smoke.